Typical paragraph.
Hi.
It's just us.
It's just us.
Yeah, we're in.
It's just us.
Yeah.
It's on. We're on page 24 in the teacher's manual.
Should I sit up here? I'm gonna get closer.
The sofa is pretty.
I love the sofa. Earl.
The sofa is pretty comfortable. That's what I'd do if I had a choice.
All right, I'll go there.
Seminar last night for what I a business deal, and it was
you were facilitating it.
Yes.
You just said because I don't think any of it comes to life until we learn how to apply it to everyday situations that we're going through.
Right.
And certainly doing what I've done, for as long as I've done it, I can definitely relate to what you're saying. And I can also share with you how I would have handled it also. It says, it's through the sorting out and categorizing activities of the mind that errors in perception enter. And so it's here in the sorting out and categorizing activities of the mind that correction must be made. So the mind classifies what the body's eyes brings to it according to the mind's preconceived values, judging where each sense datum fits best. What basis could be faultier than this? Unrecognized by itself, the mind has asked itself to be given what would fit into these categories, and having done so, the mind concludes that the categories must be true.
I'm sorry, which paragraph are you guys on?
Paragraph 4 on page 24. It's at the top of the page 25 now.
Okay.
He says, on this the judgment of all differences rests because it is on this that judgments of the world depend. Can this confused and senseless reasoning be depended on for anything? There can be no order of difficulty in healing merely because all sickness, which the Course defines as not right-mindedness. All healing is, or not right-mindedness, is illusion. Is it harder to dispel the belief of the insane in a larger hallucination as opposed to a smaller hallucination? It's on page 25 in the teacher's manual.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Says, will the person agree more quickly to the unreality of a louder voice he hears than to that of a softer one? Will a person dismiss more easily a whispered demand to kill than a shout? And do the number of pitchforks the devils he sees carry and affect their credibility in his perception? His mind has categorized them all as real, and so they're all real to him. But when we realize, or when he realizes that all illusions, that they're all illusions, they will disappear. And so it is with healing. The properties of illusions which seem to make them different are really irrelevant, for their properties are as illusory as they are. The body's eyes will continue to see differences, but the mind that has let itself be healed will no longer acknowledge differences, which means there will be those who seem to be sicker than others, and the body's eyes will report their changed appearances as before, but the healed mind will put them all in one category. They are all unreal. This is the gift of its teacher, the Holy Spirit. The understanding that only two categories are meaningful in sorting out the messages that the man receives from what appears to be the outside world. And of these two categories, but one category is real. Just as reality is wholly real apart from size and shape and time and place, for differences can't exist within reality, so too are illusions without distinctions. The one answer to sickness of any kind is healing. The one answer to all illusions is the truth. So, looping back to paragraph 4, when he was saying, you know, like you were talking about the situation that you were in with the guy that was such a distraction. He was somebody that you were seeing, and then your mind would classify him according to his preconceived values. And so it's like whatever he did, bottom line, in order to empower myself, the first thing I would remember was that I was the one giving all the meaning that all he was doing. I was giving it all the meaning that it had to me. Okay? That would be the first thing for me to realize, that whatever I was feeling about what he was doing, that was coming from my preconceived values and the meanings that I was giving it.
Well, you know, at the time, I didn't perceive it that way.
Well, no, you'd be enlightened. You'd be an enlightened master if you did it at the time. That's the whole point. Is that, yeah, we don't, and that doesn't negate the fact that you could have, that you had whatever emotional reaction that you had to whatever he was doing. When I run across people like that, when they come to my class, the first thing I try to remember when someone comes to my class and they come in one of those opposition debate things, is that I'm not going to do my class for them. That I'm not going to let that person control my class, because the majority of the people are coming there because they are open and receptive and want to hear what's being said. And so the first thing I do is not forget that I'm really there for all of the people and not just that person, because that person is subconsciously or consciously, the course would say that that person is an attempt on that person's part to be special. In other words, they're trying to draw the attention to themselves. It really didn't have anything to do with what you were saying. Their ego just wanted to be the center of attention. And so the longer that you gave them attention, the more it fed their ego, and then the more that they would come back. Plus, it also talks about how when a person doesn't want to join, what they do is they look for everything they can to be in opposition or to be different. It's sort of like when you're having a conversation with somebody, and every time you say something to them, they say something opposite back to you, even if you agreed with what they said 5 minutes ago. That's how I can always tell if a person is playing a game with me, because I'll come back and I'll agree with something they said, and I would see if they go, yeah, that's right, because that was their own statement. But when I see them even not want to agree with themselves, then I also know that this is the ego just trying to establish his own separation and his own separate identity. And then it's another attempt. And at that point, I stop. You know, at that point, it's like, if you want to talk to me later about this, we can talk later. But I don't want to take up any more of the time of the class on this particular issue. Or I'll just, like you said, I've gone so far as to say, you know, if this isn't working for you and everything about this is something that you're opposed to, maybe you're in the wrong place. Maybe this isn't the right place for you to be in. But I'm no longer going to spending more time.
If you have all the answers already.
Yeah, right. Because their ego just wants to continue to get the attention that it's getting. And then I have to go, whatever my reaction to what they're saying as being the meaning that I've given to it. And then that's how I would empower myself, by saying, the truth is, whatever I'm feeling about what this person is saying, I'm really the one that's creating that feeling. Because I always want to go back to, I'm the one that's creating my feelings, more so than losing my power by going, the other person is the one that's making me feel this way. But in that moment that it's happening, it's not always easy to remember all that. If so, we would already be enlightened. So that's why the Course talks about why it's so important that if you're going to grow, to learn forgiveness. I used to really get that. He said, because if you don't learn how to forgive yourself, then every time you try something or you try to move to a new level and you're not able to pull it off as well as you'd like to, then your own ego is going to use that as a weapon to beat you up and to make you feel more separate and to make you feel like, you know, you'll never get it and all the rest of that stuff. So I have to always remember that, you know, I'm a learner. He talks, there's a whole section he talks about being a happy learner. He talks about a happy learner you'll never be a happy learner if you get upset and condemn yourself for making mistakes basically while you're trying to learn.
But that's what I felt happening post.
Yeah.
The post effect was my ego coming in and saying, what the heck are you doing?
He was the physical embodiment of your doubt. That was the other level. It's to recognize that he was also reflecting back to you your own doubts. And so he showed up. When I first started to teach, it would be people like that that would show up pretty often. Then as I continued to feel more confident and feel okay about how I felt about what I was doing, then I noticed that those people dissipated to the point now that it's very rare that somebody shows up in my class that is outwardly in opposition to what I'm saying, because I'm not in conflict within myself about it. So if it's something new, and you're really trying to build up your confidence, and it's something that, you know, that you're trying to do, the Course says at the very beginning, that's when you're most, he calls it introducing contradictions to what you're trying to do, so that you can try to prove to yourself that it's not going to work. So every time a person says, I want to be different, or I want to do something different, the Course is basically saying your mind, which is the creator of the experience, the part of your mind that's the old mind, is going to try to introduce an opposition and contradiction to it so that you will go, oh, it's not going to work, and then go back to the old mindset. So it's really important when a person is really getting ready to make a leap in some way or make a change in some way to realize, he says, the hardest part is going to be the beginning, because it's at the beginning you're going to try to sabotage yourself.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I've only been doing this for about 6 months.
Okay.
You know, and I've done, this is like the sixth workshop I've done, and it seems like one person in each of these is that conflict.
Right. You know?
And
right.
Last night was just, you know, huge.
Right, right. It's I call it the one person in any group that represents the collective ego. You see it everywhere. You go to a party, everybody's dancing, but one person. You know, it's like everybody won't go to the restaurant, but it's always at least one. Usually, it's always one person that always represents the opposite energy for whatever the group is doing. And almost anything you can think of, it's very rare you see everybody go yes. It's always usually one. And I had to learn to see that person as just that, you know. They represent the collective ego of the group. But what I thought was always funny to watch was how people let one person control the whole thing. And you know, sort of like the way television and everything is today. It's like, it's all about the kids. It's all about, well, let's not do anything that's going to influence kids. So everything's been dumbed down to about 11-year-old level, so that the kids won't be offended, or the kids won't. So it's the same thing. It's like letting one segment rule the whole thing, and that comes up in the class. But then with the course, like he was saying here, that I need to understand that, you know, I'm the one that's giving him the meaning that it's having to me. And then the other part of it is when he says, when I can recognize it's just all the same illusion, which is me testing myself to see how much I really believe in what I'm doing. Like that's like if you were to go, okay, this is just me testing myself to see if I really believe in what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And then to use that as sort of like a challenge to go, okay, I'm not going to let that stop me, because this is something I know I really in my heart really want to do. And then once you wholly desire something, then you create it, and then you get rid of a lot of the blocks. So as you become more confident that this is what you want to do, and you're more certain that this is what you want to do, and you have no doubts about this is what you want to do, then I believe that you'll start to see those kind of situations either die down, or if they do show up, you'll know how to handle it, and you'll grow from that perspective of it too. You know, so that's a powerful thing. That's why I always tell people about the AMTs, and I found a lot of times it's just easier to just say stuff. You know, like when I would say to the group, the AMTs are for people who've already decided that this is what they want. They just want to go deeper. You know, I'm not doing this for people who don't know and who really want to argue and fight with the validity of it. It's one thing, it's okay to question something because you're trying to get a better understanding. It's another thing to be in opposition to something and you just showing up and all you want to do is fight about it. You know, then why show up? You know, so it's sort of like giving those guidelines. You know, like, okay, it's open to discussion, but after 3 minutes or whatever, I'm going to move on to whatever. You know, I'm going to give you three, we're going to get 3 minutes for this, and then we're going to move on from there. Because the course is like that. It's such a challenge to the average person's ego that it's easy to get out of hand. Like a lot of people say a lot of times, you know, why isn't there a whole lot more discussion? Why isn't it? Because most of the people tell me that they come to the class because they want to hear the course, and they don't want to really hear everybody else's opinions about the course and their various beliefs. Because inevitably what people do is they don't talk about what you're talking about. Almost every time somebody says let's do a discussion, they always take it away from whatever the subject is that you're talking about. And the biggest challenge with the course is that most people haven't heard it. Like most course students actually have not actually heard the course. And so I see it as being very important that, well, let's hear what it's saying before we go off into all our different ideas about it. You know, my class is about the Course in Miracles. Let's hear what it's saying. And so by me being very clear about my purpose, then it tends to weed out automatically who wants to go deeper and who's with me versus those who want to just hear themselves speak. And you can always tell them, because you'll never give them an answer that'll satisfy them, because it's like him. It was really about him. It was really about him getting the attention that you were giving him And from the external level, and then from the internal level, it was you testing yourself at the exact same time. It's like there's these two things going on all the time. There's an internal and an external test that's happening. And that's why he says, well, how can order, perception of difficulties be avoided? Well, the way it could be avoided is that, you know, he says, you realize that, you know, that it's all coming from the meanings that you're giving to it, and that things are basically in two categories, either they're love or they're fear, or they're real or they're unreal. You know, but that's all it is. If you just really recommit yourself to your purpose, it'll fade out. It'll die down. You know, that's the way it is. Anything that's new, you always create the people who are going to test you to see if you believe what you say about what's new. And I'm sure people have gone through that even with the course. It's like the minute you tried to live a different way, then you was amazed at how many people around you would try to challenge you. Yeah, people who you thought would be like your biggest supporters are sometimes the ones who are trying to make you doubt what you're doing, because you have doubts about it.
Yeah.
Is this a smaller group? Anybody else have anything you want to share about it?
Well, I was going to say that part about, I just felt like it was another part of you meeting yourself, and your doubts were being, you know, mirrored back to you. And I was thinking about a time I was doing a trial in court, and the judge just kept ramming me on every small little point, every opposition. And I realized later, those were the places that I had doubt. And that's how it came to me, that whole idea that was just mirroring back the places where I was just insecure or unsure about my own case or my own self. So that's what I really felt about what was happening. And on a practical level, you could probably leave question and answer time till the end. You could just say, you know, I leave about 5 to 10 minutes, unless it's an integral part of what you're doing. That might help.
The only reason why I let it go is, you know, to engage the audience,
right,
you know,
right,
to get them a part of, rather than having them sit there and just listen, you know, me dictate everything. You know, sometimes if you have a little interaction, constructive interaction,
yeah,
and it gets them, you know, feeling what you're doing, you know,
right,
a little bit better.
Right.
But I did, you know, in retrospect, I kind of let him control it a little bit more than I should have.
And it's funny, the Course says that the purpose of most questions is just to disrupt this communication and to disrupt the joining. That most questions are to stop the communication. That the ego has become threatened by something that is hearing. And so if it can ask a question, what's going to happen if somebody asks you a question, whatever you're talking about, you're going to stop. And so, but when you tell people that, their egos get defensive, because most people are not aware of how much their ego controls their actions. So when I tell somebody that, then they go, what do you mean? It's like, well, one of the best tests in the world is 90% of the time when somebody asks you a question and you say, hold on, hold that question just a minute and I'll get back to you. What I've seen in 27 years is, I would say roughly 90% of the time when you come back and you say, okay, what was your question? They'll say either two things, I don't remember it, or they'll say it was answered. And that's another reason why I don't get into it as much, because the Course kind of anticipates what the mind is going to do before it does it. Mm-hmm. So if you can go ahead, usually a lot of the stuff is being answered. And like you were saying, then you create a time that you throw open for questions. And the funny thing about that, though, is a lot of times when you do that, nobody have one. Because I've done it a lot. When I say any questions, anybody got to say, it'll be dead silence. Because at that point, I'm not saying nothing for the ego to be threatened about. Why? Because I'm not saying nothing.
Right.
But it's funny how, but the questions always come up when you're talking, and people say, well, that makes sense if you're saying something right there, I have a question about it. No, but if it was a real question, you could remember it longer than 5 minutes. If it was really important, you would remember it 5 minutes later. So the Course continually teaches you how the separated mind operates. It's the best psychology book ever written. And so I always tell people, if you ever read the Course in Miracles and you ever begin to master what it's saying, you have such insight, like I could, into the psychology of everybody around you, and what it will almost seem eerie how you'll be able to predict what people are going to say and do before they ever say or do it. It almost gets weird, because he says the separated mind has a certain way of reasoning things out and operating. And once you learn how the separated mind, which he calls the ego, operates, it doesn't matter who it is, male, female, young, old. If they think they're separate, there's a certain line of reasoning that goes with that. And so after a while, you can tell, as soon as you meet a person, you'll know what their line of reasoning is going to be. And you'll know that by how much they see themselves as joined with you and how much they see themselves as a separate person. You know, to me, the beauty of the course is how it saves you from so much drama and pain, because it makes you aware ahead of time, which is what you want. You know, I want to know when I'm getting ready to make a mistake before I make it. You know, not afterwards. And so, if you study the course, you'll be able to tell beforehand when you're getting ready to jam yourself up, and you can also tell at the very beginning when you're getting ready to form a relationship with somebody that's going to be a real challenge at some point to be with. So the next page on here, page 26, I think it covers an incredible point in the course, and it's one of the shorter sections. It says, "Are changes required in the life situation of God's teachers?" Because that's the first thing that people think about. If I'm going to do this, maybe I need to change everything. I need to change my partner, my job, my everything. So he says, "Changes are required in the minds of God's teachers." So he says, this may or may not involve changes in the external situation. But remember, I like to always do it in the first person. Remember that no one is where they are by accident. That you're not where you are by accident. That I'm not where I am by accident. Since chance plays no part in God's plan. So rule number one is, I'm not where I am in my life by accident. That wherever we are right now, it's not an accident. So he says it's most unlikely that changes in attitude wouldn't be the first step in the newly made teacher of God's training. There is, however, no set pattern, since training is always highly individualized. There are those who are called upon to change their life situation almost immediately, but these are generally special cases. So a person who has to radically change their life immediately because they say they are ready to really wake up to who they really are, the Course says that that's really pretty rare. He says, by far the majority are given a slowly evolving training program. And the key word is slowly. He says a slowly evolving training program in which as many mistakes as possible are corrected. Relationships in particular must be properly perceived, and all dark cornerstones of unforgiveness removed. Otherwise, unless all the dark cornerstones of unforgiveness are removed, the old thought system will still have a basis for a return. As the teacher of God advances in his training, that's us, he says, you learn one lesson with increasing thoroughness. You do not make your own decisions. You ask your inner teacher for your inner teacher's answer, that's the Holy Spirit, and it is this you follow as your guide for action. Following the Holy Spirit, this becomes easier and easier as you, the teacher of God, learn to give up your own judgment, which is your own past learning. The giving up of judgment, which is the obvious prerequisite for hearing God's voice, is usually what? A fairly slow process. Not because it's difficult, but because it's apt to be perceived as personally insulting. The world's training is directed toward achieving a goal in direct opposition to that of our curriculum. The world trains for reliance on one's judgment as the criterion for maturity and strength. Our curriculum trains for the relinquishment of judgment as the necessary condition of salvation, which is maturity and strength. So, was there anything in those two paragraphs that anybody would care to share that stuck out for them?
Yes.
What was it? I work around. What did you see that really kind of leaked out for you?
Relationships in particular must be properly perceived, and all dark cornerstones of unforgiveness removed. And the thing about the relinquishment of judgment, and that you can't hear God's voice when you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having a hard time applying. Like what you said one time, you said, you know, don't compromise in knowledge of truth and love.
Mm-hmm.
And so, or respect and love.
Mm-hmm.
Respect and love. So I'm kind of having a hard time knowing where it's my spirit or the Holy Spirit guiding me,
mm-hmm.
or where it's my judgment of somebody else.
Give me an example.
I kind of decided I needed to stand up for myself in a relationship,
okay.
and say, I'm either leaving,
okay.
or you're going to maybe show me that you appreciate me.
Okay. Okay.
So, okay. But then I just wonder if I'm just being in my own ego, like thinking that I need to be fed a different way, or if I'm, you know, actually asking for what I believe I deserve at this point.
Okay, now think of the first thing that to ask yourself about that is, what is your purpose? And like in what you were asking for, what was your purpose?
My purpose is to surround myself with people that are going where I want to go.
Okay, so would that be something that a loving man would do, or would that be something that a fearful attack man would do?
I don't know.
You really do, though.
Think
about it. Loving
myself.
Right, by wanting to be around people that's focusing on your goal. So what you're trying to do is execute a physical gesture that's symbolic of what you want for yourself, right? Okay, the part of you that would make you doubt that, that's your ego. Because your purpose is right. Your purpose is love. Your purpose is peace. Remember that from a Course perspective, the Holy Spirit guides us at the level of thought. So what makes the Course hard for people is they try to use it in terms of behavior.
Okay.
Okay, you know what I'm saying? It's like, was that behavior spiritual? And it's not, was my behavior spiritual? It would be, was my purpose spiritual?
I understand.
You see what I'm saying? It's like, I don't care what anybody say. I don't think my mother spanking me when I was a child meant my mother didn't love me, or she never would have spanked me. I'm sorry. You know, I know that modern parenting says you never spank. That's bullshit to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not about what you do. It's why did you do it?
Yeah.
What was your purpose behind
the
it?
The kids about to burn us.
Well, I mean, let's face it. All of the kids shooting up schools, that didn't happen when I was a kid.
Right.
All the crazy stuff I see kids doing, it all seems to be happening with these enlightened parents that's using all of this enlightened methods with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not saying be abusive, but there's a long way from abuse and a spanking. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm sorry. You know, it's like, that ain't the same thing. I didn't hit you over the head with a bat and put you in the closet for 3 weeks. Okay? And so my point is not whether that's right or wrong. So I'm not defending it one way or another. I'm saying that what was communicated to me by my mother was that my mother loved me. That was communicated. It wasn't her behavior. Same thing with you. If you get in the truth and then you judge everything by your behavior, it's going to drive you crazy. Because people are going to assign a meaning to your behavior, and there's nothing you can do about that, but you're the only one that really knows why. Okay, so you feel like, hey, you know what? I deserve love. I deserve appreciation now. That's my purpose. I'm giving you an opportunity to either join with the idea of me and you showing appreciation for each other, or if that's something that you're not into doing, that I love myself so much that I'm going to choose out of this. You're totally, completely innocent. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. But I've like drawn a line in the sand, and this is what I need to do for myself right now. That's loving. That's you loving yourself. In my perception, that's what you would always do. You'd ask yourself, what is my purpose behind this? And if you be honest with yourself, you'll always know whether your purpose was to harm or whether your purpose was to heal. And if people say, well, you know, well, you can fool yourself. Well, maybe you are, but maybe you're not. Just be honest with yourself. So from my understanding of the Course, that wasn't your ego. It was your ego that would have kept you in a relationship that you weren't being appreciated in. And that person, and the suffering, right? And then that person represented you wanting to be that way at one time. So you're not like, it wasn't like they're evil or anything. It's like they were just fulfilling a need that you used to have. Now you have a new need, and that's appreciation. And you gave them the option of joining you with that or not. And to me, that's loving. You know, so don't try to be conscious that your ego is the old self is going to always try to, in the end, make you end up in exactly the same situation. And it said, you know, in most cases, you have to change your mind. Well, that was a change of mind when you went, hey, this is what I deserve now. That was a reflection of your change of mind. And as adults, I feel like we would save so much time. It's like, I have two children. Those children, basically, they're going to be in my life, right, as long as both of us on the planet. But I don't have 300 children. I don't have 400 children. So 90% of the people in my life, as an adult, are by choice. Right? So I don't understand when I hear people talk about how they're surrounded by people that they don't get along with, or people that they don't enjoy, or friends that they don't really... It's like, why? You know what I'm saying? It's like, they're not your children. There's no reason for you to stay in a relationship with somebody that's not giving you any fulfillment, unless it's a part of you that feels that way about yourself, and then they're feeding that part of you that feels that way. What you told me was, you're not feeling that way about yourself anymore. That now you're loving yourself more, and you want to see more of a reflection of that. And I want to acknowledge you, because it takes guts. Most people don't do that. Their ego works just the opposite. The ego will say to them, well, if you just change your mind, then they change, so you just stay in the situation even though it's crappy. And then you just work on yourself, and then they'll change. That's how the ego catches most people.
I've heard some first-hand
that. Yeah. And it's like, if you've done all you could, you choose peace, and if you've done all you could, like, which to me, that's doing all you could, it can, is like giving a person honest communication that gives a person a chance to say yay or nay. You know, you didn't hide your feelings. You didn't walk out the door. You say, hey, this is what I...
And I was thankful for communicating.
Yeah. Right. You were thankful for communicating. Okay, then you've done your part. You gave that person an opportunity. You didn't attack them. You made a choice for what you'd like to experience. Now, the real test is, do you really love yourself enough to follow through?
I have no idea.
Okay. And if you don't, do anything right now, do you love yourself enough to be okay with that?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, if you did decide to stay longer, can you make that okay? You know what I'm saying? That whatever choice you make, you're still innocent. Whatever choice you make, you're still a loving child of God.
All or nothing. I'm sure.
But let me give you a tip. You know, it's like, save time. That's what I always tell people. Save time. Yeah. Save time. Don't drag something out forever, you know, that you know isn't working, because... You know, like we all know. If we be honest, we all know. You know if the person you're with is the one for you right now. All of us know that. We might not act on it because it's comfortable or because we're used to it, but we all know. You know. And
I got into a relationship last fall.
Uh-huh.
Met someone on Match.com.
Uh-huh.
We met at a restaurant. In the first 5 seconds, my whole body went, uh-uh. And I heard my mind go, shut up, man, I'm lonely.
Thank you. And horny.
Exactly.
Don't get horny. Don't leave horny.
Oh, you know it. I got one.
Yeah.
I got something to eat some apple.
Yeah.
So,
was that helpful?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That was incredibly helpful.
Okay.
Yeah. I would like to come here and give more, but some days my ego is like, come here. Don't give anything there until you know what's up.
Oh, I understand. That's why my mantra is, I'm sustained by the love of God. What for that one? I would have been washed out a long time ago.
I said, I'm on my way to the Course of Miraculousness today.
Yeah. There's not many things that I'm certain of, but one thing that I'm certain of is that I could save people a lot of time. But the other thing that I'm certain of is that you can't do it unless a person is open.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah. Because people don't realize that in 27 years, how many times that I've met people and seen people and talked to people and watched people. And you know what I'm saying? So everybody could get the advantage of that in 5 minutes. You know? And that's what I see my purpose as being. Of course, the purpose of a relationship is to save time. But what's a trip being in this kind of a position is how few people you really meet that really, really want to be happy enough to listen, you know. So I appreciate the fact that you even asked. Yeah. Because it lets me remember it. You see what I'm saying? By me saying that to you, then it also helped me remember that. So that when it comes up,
set boundaries.
Yeah, because you wouldn't bring nothing to me that I didn't need to hear, right? So where in my life am I making the same choices? Mm-hmm. And then maybe wondering if it's the right choice. And that's true of everybody in here. We could all go, where are we wanting to step up for ourselves right now? But for some reason we're not stepping up for ourselves or doubting that. Mm-hmm. And then we could apply that, because we're all the same. We're one being. What are you getting ready to say, brother?
So I am in a new special relationship. It's kind of like as if this wasn't enough, I decided to go to night school, you know what I mean?
And, you know how the exam goes?
Yeah.
And it's good, and it does feel very correct. And naturally stuff's coming up, things are happening, you know. One dynamic, I'll want to make a plan. I am somebody that's given to making plans. I like, you know, locking stuff in, feeling secure, and then having that expectation, all that. And she is not, at least with me, you know, and she'll be like, I just want to be in the moment, you know, and will be reluctant to making a commitment to doing something. And then as we get close to doing that thing, she may even shift something. Well, I decided to do, you know, whatever. And I have pain about that. I have fear about that. I have hurt about that. And I need a new way of looking at this.
So changes of mind are required in the teachers radically. Not often we ask to make changes in the external situation. So from a course,
yeah, I'm not trying to change.
Like you said, like
that's
you said,
clearly not working.
Choosing.
It's always the ego that chooses a person that's opposite to what makes you feel peace, and you're not able to give yourself peace about them being opposite. And then let me see if I can clarify that. You know, if you know you're a person that needs plans and structures, and then you choose to have a relationship with somebody you know that doesn't like to make plans and stuff like that, that is an ego trip. Because you know yourself well enough to know that you have peace when you have some kind of certainty that you can work around, right? And it's not about changing her at all. It's really about can you really give yourself peace about that? And if you can't really give yourself peace about that, then it's real important for you to be honest about what form of the relationship you should have. Because it's okay to keep a relationship, but sometimes we have to change the form of the relationship.
Girls got cookies.
Yeah, I said I hope it's Girl Scout cookies. They invite them in this year. Well, can I ask you a question, Stuart?
Do you think there's a fear of not being able to get what you want going on?
Oh, always. See, as Course in Miracles students, all of us have ways that we handle things that everybody could share. But the challenge is, what could we share with you that comes from A Course in Miracles? And that's where most discussion, that's why I don't do a lot of discussion. Not because I don't think people have other things that are helpful to say, but I want to learn how to apply what the Course is saying. And in most cases, people don't bring Course solutions. In most cases, the solutions from other things. So that's why I was going by, you know, because what I want to do is, how can I apply this so I can live it? And so if all of us had the attitude of, okay, we can contribute to what's being said, but what would the Holy, like the people say, what would Jesus do? What would the Course in Miracles say about this? Well, it's hard to do that if a person doesn't know the Course in Miracles, and that's why it digresses so easily over into other things. And so when you say stuff, when I say stuff to you like, what would give you the most peace? That's what the Course would say. Since peace is in your mind, if you can't change, what the Course says, if you can't change your mind, what's going to happen is there's going to be a change in the external situation. One or the other is going to happen. Like, if you can't change your mind and give yourself peace about what's going on in that relationship, then there's going to be some kind of an external change. So you have to ask yourself, what's more important to you, your peace or this relationship in the form that it is now? What's more important to you? That's the question. Because she doesn't need to change. There's nothing wrong with her. But
I keep expecting myself to be able to change my thinking about this.
That's what I'm saying. That's the trick. I mean, you can change your thinking about this. But on the other hand, you could choose for a relationship in which the person is on the same wavelength that you are. So you have to ask yourself, what's more important, my peace or to have this form of a relationship? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or what is it about this person that is so important that something that you know doesn't work for you, you're willing to go along and do it because there's a payoff in some other area. And is that payoff good enough to make it easy for you to overlook the fact that the person doesn't want to make a commitment in terms of time? in space.
Like you were saying, her, in other words, you know, if you're going to go ahead and choose to be there, can you be okay? You know,
yeah.
Can you find a place to be, have some peace? You know.
Right, because at some point the Course says your goal has to be peace. And you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's what took me a while to get about this book. He was saying over and over again, you know, this Course is about peace of mind, because it's only when you have peace of mind, he says, that you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, which is your guidance that makes your life blissful. Because it's your guidance, your inner guidance, that knows what's the best thing for you. But he says we can't hear it because we're in conflict most of the time. So he says the ego part of us then has one job. It tries to keep us in conflict just enough so that we won't hear our guidance, but not so much conflict that we'll get rid of the ego. So he says the ego does this delicate balancing act where, like with this situation, it's irritating, but it's not so irritating that I'll make some concrete decision about what I'm going to do with her. You see what I'm saying? So the ego is balancing the conflict. But then you have to get to the point that you go, there's nothing on this earth more important than my peace. There's nothing on this earth that can be more important than my peace. Because if I'm going to love people, it's got to come out of peace. If I'm going to have sanity, it's going to come out of peace. You see what I mean? So it's not like you're being selfish when you say that. He says you're really setting up the condition whereby you can actually hear your guidance and therefore truly be helpful and truly be loved. Because a person in conflict and fear certainly isn't as helpful as a person that's in peace and love. You know, so does this make you feel more peace, or does this keep you in conflict? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then he says, after you make the decision for peace, then out of that decision, what you should do physically will be revealed. That's why I didn't say, I'm not saying break up with her. I'm not saying anything about behavior. I'm just trying to support you in going, do I really feel peace? Is this what really gives me peace? Do I really want peace? And I really want to put my peace first. And then you get by yourself, you ask yourself, okay, Spirit, what would be the best thing for me to do right now in order to have the most peace? And you'll be told.
Yeah.
You know, and then the test will come, do you love yourself enough to follow that guidance? That's going to be, I'd be curious to find out about that. You know, just like you, Elizabeth, you're like, you know, do you get your answer, but do you love yourself to stick to that answer?
And not to keep going on about it, but it's like I'm waiting for the response to everything that I've thrown out.
Right.
And it's dangling. It's like the person's doing the same vague behavior that has always happened. And so what I'm doing is I'm saving, like, the good bra and the cool jeans for this Thursday night that was planned, you know, like, and I'm going to be holding out until that last minute. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if I'm going to get dolled up and pluck my eyebrows and get a pedicure, or if I'm going to say, you know what, I'm going with somebody else. Like, I don't know how much I love myself. I'll know tomorrow. I'll get back to you.
And the cool thing is to realize that you are love, and regardless of what you do, that's the truth about you. That's the key, though, is to know that whatever you decide, you still, as God created you, you still love. You're still innocent. You're still beautiful. Whether you stick with that or whether you don't, that's what the Course is trying to get us to see, that who we are is not at stake ever. But what is at stake is our peace of mind. You know, like,
you make a commitment to love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like you need to go all the way.
I agree. I'm just saying I don't meet a lot of people that are willing to do that.
Earl, I appreciate that you stick to the Course, because, you know, there's 1,000 therapies and self-help deals out there. I could get 1,000 answers today on that.
That's why I call it the Course in Miracles class.
I appreciate it.
You know, it's because there are always other ways to look at it. But what I've noticed about the Course is that the Course trips people out the most. I've never seen anything that bring up as much resistance at a subconscious level than the Course in Miracles does. And that's what made me think that it might be the truth. Because I kept watching how, no matter how much people say they love it, no matter how much they say it's a powerful, important teaching that they really appreciate, it's very few people that would be consistent with it. Because it's like something you don't really get serious about until you really reach your limit.
Yeah.
because it's so uncompromising. Like how just like with you, like, you know, could you really open your heart to a person that you felt like you could not trust what they would do from moment to moment, even though we all are inconsistent ultimately? But could you really feel safe with a person that says, I live in the moment, I might be here today, I might not be here, I might keep this agreement with you, I might not. That, to me, that sounds like the most New Age, airy-fairy stuff that I've... And you run into it a lot in the New Age community. Oh, just be in the now, da-da-da-da. I said, that's cool, but you have to be honest with yourself. Does that work for you, for me? Well, no, it doesn't. If we make an agreement that we're going to meet at 4 o'clock and you don't show up and you don't call and you don't get me and then you say, well, it was in divine order. If I was supposed to be there, I would have been there. I'll say to you, you're absolutely right and I'm not going to schedule another time for us to get together. You're absolutely innocent, but I'm not going to do that anymore. You know what I mean? And both of them are right. But the New Age person go, ooh, does that mean I'm not being loving because I didn't forgive them? No. Forgiveness means I wish you peace. Forgiveness means I want you to be happy. Forgiveness means I'm not going to attack you. And I'm not. It's just the way you handle things that doesn't work for me. It doesn't mean you're guilty. It just doesn't work for me. That's loving yourself.
What's happening at this moment is it's like this little situation. At this moment, it still has some importance, but whatever. But what's happening is that this decision to choose peace for me at a profound level. I mean, it's like just what this is saying. That decision heals everything.
Right, right. That's what I said. If you go, I want another way of looking at this. Spirit said, okay, I'll give you another way of looking. What is that? Well, the other way of looking at it is that, you know, what do I really want? I want to choose for peace in this situation. Does this really give me a feeling of peace to not have any idea whether or not I can depend on what this person says to me, or this person is not able to make any kind of bit? Now, that has nothing to do with them. It's right back to, would I give myself peace about it, or am I going to attack myself about it? Because the course that calls worry, anger, anxiety, frustration, he defines it in the workbook as you attacking yourself.
Mm-hmm. See, and that's how I was applying this occupational issue, similar to a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's bringing me this pain via these other people, and is this really what I want to continue to do?
Mm-hmm.
Is in a peaceful, loving way.
Right.
So those are the questions that were coming up.
Okay, then out of that question of what would give me the most peace, if you be honest with yourself, really, if you be honest with yourself, and you didn't judge yourself for the answer would come. But what would happen would be, you get an answer from God, and then the ego would say, well, is that a loving thing to do? Like, for instance, if the answer came to you that said, well, you know what, I've decided right now that I'm going to focus on the people that are here, and I'm no longer going to get into this kind of discussion right now, and I'm not going to do this anymore for the rest of the meeting, and if you wanted to talk to me later about it, we could, but I'm going to, okay. And then your ego said, well, somehow or another, that wasn't a loving thing to do. You ought to give him an opportunity to express it with it. Mm-hmm. See, that's how you stop your ego, because you go, well, what would give me the most peace? Well, what would give me the most peace is for him to shut the hell up. That's what would really give me the most peace. If I just break it down and forget the metaphysics, forget the spirituality, forget all that idealized version of what I ought to be like, and then go, well, what would really make me feel more peaceful and more effective right now? Would it be to no longer have this dialogue with this person, so that I could go ahead and do what I wanted to do with the rest of the people in here? See, sometimes you have to. That's what I liked about the course. I had gotten so metaphysical and so spiritual and all that I had lost sight of what I was really feeling deep down inside, because I was too busy trying to be this idealized version of myself. And so I had gotten totally out of touch with what I was really feeling, which I run into a lot with those of us who are on the spiritual path. We'll look at you straight in the face and say, I feel fine, and inside you in a million pieces, but you'll say, I feel great, you know, because that's what you're supposed to say, or you're trying to be positive, or you can hate somebody's guts, but you would never say, you know, the truth is, I hate my mama. You know, they, a spiritual person would go, they could feel hate for their mama, but they would never say, I feel hate for their mama. They would say something else. You know what I'm saying? Because they feel too guilty to admit their feeling. But they don't know they would get to the love for their mother a lot faster if they could admit the hate that they felt for their mother. But somehow or another, it gets twisted where you never tell the truth about an emotion that you don't feel is positive and loving. So I continue to try to give the people in my space permission to be honest about how they feel so we can get to the love behind it. Like, you know, like you really wanted peace and you really wanted to be helpful to the people in the room. The truth is, this guy was, for whatever reason, whether it was you creating it or whatever, it was irritating you. And so the most important thing you could have done at that moment was giving yourself peace as quick as possible. And if you couldn't do it in your mind, then you would try to make whatever changes you needed to make in the external situation to give yourself peace. So if I couldn't change my mind and just feel good about this guy, then I would have had to do something external and say, hey, you know what? I can't continue with this dialogue like this. You know, I feel like it's not fair to the rest of the people in the room. You're innocent, but I'm going to do this now. Mm-hmm. See, because once I make my decision, the words to say would come to me, the ones I have decided to choose for peace. You know what I mean? And that was a change of mind.
Right.
You see what I mean? Because now you made a different effect, which means it had to be a change of mind. Just like with this, you know, she's innocent, you're innocent, blah, 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 but this really doesn't work for me, and you're innocent, so what other way can we relate to each other that we can relate to each other in a way that both of us feel like it's a win-win? Then it might be some things you do together and some things you don't. You may only do things with her that you felt like if she didn't show up, you'd be okay about it. You see what I mean? But you would never ask her out on a date where you would be upset if she didn't show up. Mm-hmm. But you'd ask her out on a million dates that you wouldn't care. You see what I mean? It's like once you want peace, the Course says, you know, peace will start dictating the best way for you to handle it, because what you really want is peace. And so peace will be at the core. And you really start getting very ingenious answers for any situation that comes up because you want peace. And that's what's cool about it. That goal, he says, will create the form. Like your goal to have peace teaching. If you sit down and go, I really want peace because I really love this, and this is something I really want to do, and I really want to do it from my heart, you'll be amazed at the ideas that will start coming to your own mind about how you could do that in a way that would be more peaceful for you. But that's what makes you different from everybody else.
And that's exactly opposite of what I was taught.
That's what I mean. Isn't that exactly the opposite?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like the old what would really be the old paradigm?
That would be to make my thinking change. You know, force my thinking to be a certain way because it was the approved thinking, you know, approved thought or whatever, and to arrange people and external situations out here, and this is saying no, first choose peace. And peace, what you just said, peace will know how to engage, how to. This, you know,
it's freaky. It's absolutely freaky. But most people don't do it, so they don't know it.
You know, and my ego is going,
yeah.
Hey man, I'm going to be out of a job. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, your ego is saying, hey man, I'm going to be out of a job. You better believe it's saying, hey man.
Yeah, like
and it doesn't like it at all.
Compromise would be the old paradigm.
Compromise would be the old paradigm.
Exactly. Yeah, I've been doing that for a while.
Giving up, you know, what you truly believe, just to, you know,
and, right.
Something
else. There's a whole section about compromise in there.
And my body will tell me that is not solving the problem. Because how come, you know?
Well, for a little bit.
Well, like you said, when you had that date, and your body went no, and then your ego went, but you're gonna need it, but you're lonely, man. You see what I'm saying? It's like that's what I'm saying. We all know. That's what he kept saying. You know, the answer's within you. We all know. But what I found out about myself is I just didn't have the courage of my convictions. So even if I knew what the answer was, I wouldn't have the courage for fear of loss to go ahead and do it. And then what I found out when I started having the courage of my convictions was that the minute that you take a stand and there's no more of that gray area, then you draw people to you who are just the best people for you to be around. It's the weirdest thing. It's like, since you're not sending out mixed signals, then you don't get mixed people anymore. You either get the people who get you and appreciate you, or the ones who don't, just don't try to be in any kind of a personal relationship with you. So you end up surrounded by people who you all are in harmony with. We don't mean y'all just alike, but it means you all are in harmony with each other. And until you experience that, it sounds like some kind of a fairy tale, because most people don't actually actualize the ideas, so they don't get a chance to see them work. It's sort of like, I'm going to try to analyze whether or not this is going to work before I try any of it. You know, it's like I'm gonna know how a cake tastes before I actually bake it and eat it, and then I'm gonna decide whether or not I want to bake the cake because I'm imagining what it must taste like. You know, and then of course they're saying, well, you could bake the cake, you know, and then you know what it tastes like. It wouldn't be in your imagination; it would be a real experience that you're having. And so your ego did the same thing that his ego did, maybe, you know, which was you said you wanted a new direction, you wanted to go in. This guy showed up, who was a test to see if you really meant what you said. You saying, I really want to go in the direction of a relationship that's really peaceful for me. Poof, this person shows up who reflects your past. And, you know, to see if someone, if you're going to forgive yourself for when you were like that, will you forgive yourself for when you were non-committal and wouldn't, you know what I'm saying? That's the other thing you realize too. It's like, uh-oh, if I be honest with myself, this person is, it represents me at a certain time and place. So I can't condemn her because then I'd be condemning myself. So I'm going to bless her and not attack her, but still choose for what would be best for me. Then I take care of the karma and I don't drive myself crazy and want to kill her. You know? That's really that way. Like, I'm going to bless you, but I'm not going to compromise.
Yeah.
You know, I deserve to have a relationship that I feel safe in. I'm not going to compromise.
That's a big piece because I'm looking right at myself, too.
You see what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you always are if you be honest. You know, if you be honest, you go, whatever I'm upset with somebody about, I have to be honest and admit that I've done that same thing. I've done that same thing myself. You know, and sometimes that's not an easy pill to swallow, you know. So, anyway. So,
Can I this is why I asked if you were afraid. Because a lot of times when we feel like we have to cut out people because it's not in alignment with what we really want, which I've had to do, then you get afraid, oh no, I'm going to be alone, or maybe that's my last chance, mm-hmm. or whatever. And whenever I get like that, I just read Lesson 48, which is there is nothing to fear.
Yeah.
And that really helps me.
That's why I've been covering it so much. As a meditation, first I was doing I'm Sustained by the Love of God, and lately I've been doing There's Nothing to Fear, for the same reason.
Well, that's the only thing I read for the first 10 years of having this book. The only thing I read. I read your classes. It's the only thing I read. So whenever I'd get afraid, I'd read that, and that would help me. And sometimes I would read Lesson 50, too.
I have it on my banner, so it helps me.
You do?
When I'm about to call somebody, like drunk dialing, even. There is nothing to fear.
My favorite line in that is when he says, "The presence of fear is a sure sign you're trusting in your own strength." That's the one that I blaze. He says, "Then I have to be honest with myself." Like,
I have it highlighted.
Yeah, it's like, and that's the truth. Like, why am I afraid? Well,
because I think I'm doing this.
Yeah, because I think I'm.
Fail.
That's right.
And really thinking of you when you were talking about that. Another thing that seems so evident today is that we get screwed up because of what we're taught about what is the ego and what is actually not the ego.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Mike's case, you would think the ego is the one that's telling you, you know, is the part that's telling you to tell him to be quiet right now. But it's actually not.
Right.
It's actually the peaceful part. But
that's exactly how I felt.
Right.
Right.
Because I was seeing that when you were talking about it, I was saying, oh, you know, we get screwed up about
what's the ego.
I was
trying to be metaphysical.
I have
been on this journey for 11 years. Mm-hmm. I am actually in this, I'm the special case because I gave up everything. I'm the one person who did not, segue very slowly.
You the one to change your external. You change your external situation.
And everything moved five states away with a 2-year-old. Completely changed my life. Gave up everything that I'd been working with, my special relationship, everything. So I'm that one special case.
you're the special case.
My ex-husband would definitely agree. I'm a very special case.
I heard that.
So. Oh, what was I going to say? Oh, so 11 years ago, I started to have to learn the difference between what I actually felt.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm a special case, I just went right to that. So all these years I've been cutting out people, even when they would come in my life, that weren't honoring what I really wanted. And yeah, you do spend some time alone, and it is scary. And then you think, well, I'm not like everybody else because they'll just surround themselves with all sorts of people. But it's actually good because you get more in touch with what you actually want, and then you get closer.
Yes.
Yeah, and I can see that in this relationship.
Yes.
I'm getting closer
yes.
to what I want
yes.
rather than having
yes.
you know, people come in and challenge me anymore.
Yes.
In fact, I had a client meeting this morning, my first client meeting for my new business, and it went great. I mean, the woman was just like, oh, rah, rah. I don't know if anything...
Yeah.
No, actually, this was in Englewood. I don't know if anything's going to come of it because I'm just very open. If nothing comes, whatever. But I just noticed there's even a change in that where I'm not being challenged. Well, why are you charging this, or how are you doing this, or anything like that? So.
Can I make a comment about one of these lines?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. The world's training is directed toward achieving a goal in direct opposition to that of our curriculum. You know, I've been thinking the last week about this, you know, the business of the secret
mm-hmm.
and all this. And I thought, you know, in some ways, and I could be wrong about all this, in some ways it seems to me that that just working with that one principle of cause and effect and manifesting, you know, here in the, you know, having results in the manifest world could actually be a postponement to the realization of truth.
Yes.
Your healing, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. The cool part about the secret to me is that anything that helps people recognize that something that's happening in their life is related to their own self and their own thinking. That's the greatest gift of people being attracted to the secret. But if it sends people on a binge of making toys, as I call it, and not about dealing with the issues of love and forgiveness and releasing blocks and all that, then it truly is just a distraction. And that's what the course. So I love it. The course doesn't really call things good or bad. It'll just say stuff like it's a delay, or it's a distraction. And I know that that's a brilliant, because the one thing that we don't like is to be delayed, and we don't like being distracted. So Jesus is so smart. He's like, oh no, it's not bad. It's just a delay. You know, like, ugh. You know, I don't want a delay. You know, that's what people do. I don't want a delay. But that's all that is. Now all of your attention is on manifesting the car, but you're still just as crazy as you ever were. You know what I'm saying? It's like, so you'll be driving a brand new car, still hating your mama, yourself.
Yeah.
You know, that's what happened to me. It's like I did the manifesting stuff like back in the 70s, you know, when I first got into all this stuff. And man, I was manifesting my can off. And what I noticed was that I would manifest all this stuff, the promotion, the car, the, you know, the sexual fantasies, the relations. I was like manifesting my can off. But I still hadn't dealt with my emotional and psychological issues, so I would like still be miserable, but with all the stuff that I had always thought about. So it's funny how people think that when they get that thing, that somehow or another, when they get that thing, all of a sudden they're going to be happy. They don't realize happiness is internal. So it doesn't really make any difference what your outer is. And you've seen enough movie stars and rich people say that over and over again. I know Oprah says it all the time, you know. I know you think that if you have money, you still won't have no worries, no concerns, no anxieties, but that is not true. It's not just it's a myth. It's not saying that there's something wrong with having prosperity. But if you think that that's the cure, he says you're going to be sorely disappointed, you know. So anyway, this is a bad.
One more thing, too. Mm-hmm. One thing that I realized, too, is when you really start to go for what you want,
pass that around for
rather than what you think people want you to have, or you go towards your heart's desires, a lot of people will try to block that and tell you you're selfish, and you have to be very courageous to go for what you want. Very courageous.
And that's why I have this class, is I want to support the people who are trying to be courageous like you're talking about.
And you have to read Lesson 48 a lot.
Really, it takes guts to live the truth. It really does.
It does.
It takes guts.
Very difficult.
Yeah.
Sometimes you want to fit in, or you want to accommodate other people.
Yes.
It's very hard.
Yes.
Does somebody have a pen?
Mm-hmm. So tomorrow night,